Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar. This is Fired Up California, your source for all things political from the Golden State. So let's get ready to take a wild ride through California's political roller coaster, where San Diego's budget battles, Oakland's mayoral showdown, and Newsom's White House fantasy collide with lawsuits, tariffs, and sewage spills. From local squabbles to national showdowns, these stories serve up a spicy mix of policy, power, and progressive flair. Think of it as Sacramento's answer to a Hollywood blockbuster, but with more paperwork, uglier people, and fewer explosions. Before we get to all that, though, my friends, do not forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. Grumblingsmedia.com. You can find this podcast, my Fired Up podcast, where I talk all things from a national perspective, as well as the red, white, and rude, and Points on the Board, where I talk culture with one and sports with the other. You can also find us at YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, under the handle Grumbling Media. And as always, do not forget to like and share this podcast, as I cannot survive without you doing that. It's that simple. We got a great show for you tonight. I'm riding solo this week. In fact, there's going to be a mix of guests and co-hosts and panelists over the next few weeks, as we'll be attempting something new. And I hope you enjoy it. As always, we welcome your feedback. You guys have taken to this podcast. This podcast is doing better than expected, in contrast to some of our other shows. So we're really appreciative of that. And we are going to get even better as we bring in a diverse cast of characters over the next few weeks. So let's get to our first story. San Diego's proposed budget prioritizes police funding. This came out of one of my favorite sites, Times of San Diego, which is actually leans more left than conservative, but I want to give them their props. They have a report talking about the preliminary budget out of San Diego, the city itself, allocates increased funds to police. It's a far cry from defund the police. The downside is they're cutting library hours, and this is creating debate over priorities. I got news for you people. With today's internet, etc., the library is a dying institution. I don't want to see it die, but nevertheless, it is, and we need our protection. We have seen the Gascon. We have seen the DA in San Francisco, New York City, Philadelphia. Crime is rampant across the nation, so I like the fact that they are going to increase some of the money, but that's not the whole tale. That's not the whole tale. There's $150 million shortfall with San Diego's budget. Public safety is consuming 45% of the general fund, including a $25 million increase for the police. $2.2 billion in general fund spending. That's a lot of money. However, the budget does not explicitly allocate funds for illegals, but they pull the money out of the general fund, which is why we eventually go in the red. Last year, San Diego spent $20 million on migrant services that could have been used towards the library, temporary shelters, transportation. You know, now they say it's not funded by the city's general fund, but by federal grants. I got news for you people. Those grants are gone. Now, city-level spending on undocumented immigrants or illegal aliens, as I call them, which is what they are by definition, is supposedly minimal. It's often limited to nonprofit grants for legal aid or health services. Where did the nonprofits get the grants from? The city. You know, so this writer was playing on words. The bottom line is our tax dollars are funding money that can go to the libraries and other social services that are needed. Spending on non-citizens diverts services from taxpayers. It doesn't matter if they're federally mandated or if they're grant-based. We are also spending our fair share of money that's allocated for other uses on illegals. It's not that I'm against illegal aliens. I'm Latino. I have the compassion firsthand. I've actually been to 30-some-odd countries. I volunteered in other countries. I've gone deep into the bush to go help the local Indians in Peru. So Don't talk to me about compassion. I have compassion. I don't care for your compassion on paper while you live in your little ivory tower or your nice little suburbs in mama's basement, you know, thinking you're holier than thou, because you're not. You're not. Now, homelessness. 15 million for homeless services, up from 12 million in fiscal year 2025. Shelters, outreach, and mental health. Again, 15 million for a problem that has had 24 billion put into it by the state of California. And the homeless situation has increased. They're not doing anything to solve the problem. They're just continually recycling our tax money. Not even recycling. They're taking more and more of our tax money. It's up from 12 million from the previous year. Now they're going to sit there and say, William, that's less than 1%. Really? Yeah, that 15 million could have helped a lot of people out. Could have kept libraries open. Could have kept those workers hired, huh? People who love to use this less than 1% are losers. They don't have a pushback, so they go down to this 1%. Well, 15 million may be less than 1% of the budget, but it shows how grotesquely ballooning is, how grotesquely our budgets have ballooned. Terrible. Shouldn't be that high. Taxpayers view homeless spending as mixed. You got the leftists, please, 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 spend, spend, spend. And the working class saying, what the hell are you doing, people? Let me give you an example. When they did the recall of the San Francisco mayor a couple years, San Francisco DA. When they did the recall of him a couple years ago, they now can tell you how the voting goes per district, per precinct area. All the districts where the crime was not, where it was secure, gating, they lived carefree, beautiful lives. All those districts, the rich, the well-to-do, the influential, whatever they call them, people with the money. All those people voted to keep the DA in. Now, where all the crime was, where all the crappy areas were, where all of that, they all voted to get rid of the DA. So when you hear budget talk, that's usually where it aligns as well. So the library cut's going to cost us $3 million. $10 million is going to go less for roads. Think potholes. Again, that's where the money should be going to keep our streets safe. When I say safe, man, people have accidents with the size of some of these potholes. I saw a pothole, read a story, a newspaper article a few years back of a pothole so big somebody broke their axle. City did not fix it. Pensions, $100 million administrative costs. Our pensions are over the top. You should not be earning $150,000, $200,000, $300,000 when you retire having only earned $75,000, $80,000. These pensions are corrupt in their own way. I don't mind paying for people their pensions, but I don't want their pensions to be putting them in the 1% of the county, much less the nation. And that's what's happening here. It's terrible. Terrible. $25 million for police funding increase. They could use more. They're actually consolidating police shops. San Diego's budget allocates limited funds to undocumented immigrants and homelessness on paper. In reality, they pour millions. They're prioritizing police to go around because the winds of change are here and people want to be protected. Not because they're compassionate, which is what they want you to think, that they care about your safety. They don't. They don't care about your safety one iota. And never forget that. Stay on top of your city councilman or councilwoman or whatever the hell they call them. Idiots. They're not good people. They had one guy pretty much spewing racist crap and then calling himself a victim maybe a month ago as he was denigrating somebody, a pastor of some sort. It was a story. Didn't make the cut. But I was like, you got to be kidding me. City of San Diego, the city council, these are your representatives. Okay, San Diego bans rent-setting algorithms. I'm not sure how this one's going to wind up. Another time's a San Diego story. So the San Diego City Council, they banned rent-setting algorithms. In other words, software. And they targeted. They went after this one called RealPage. This wasn't like, oh, that one, okay. This one, that. They purposely targeted and went after that. They accused the software of inflating rents. Lawsuits are piling up to challenge the ordinance. So let's explore the legal landscape and expert opinions on the band's legality. So they banned this software, saying y'all can't use this because it's just helping you raise rates. Well, what's illegal about that? Supply and demand. They're suing. You can't tell landlords they can't use our software. So the council voted 7-2, seven people who want to take away your freedoms, to ban software using market data to set rent. So they're using market data. So far, so good. They're saying this is effective June with $5,000 fines per violation. So here's what's going to happen. They fine them. They're going to jack up their rent prices anyway. Or they're going to kick everybody out and just sell it. And somebody will build condos and kick them all out. These politicians can't think beyond their nose or beyond the last dollar bill. So they're blaming this software RealPage for enabling landlord collusion. It's not collusion. Collusion is landlords are all talking together. They're using the software. Real estate groups and software firms are challenging the ban in federal and state courts, as is their right, alleging violations of free speech and interstate commerce. And I agree with them. So there was a 2024 antitrust lawsuit against RealPage in Tennessee. That's the software that's being targeted here. I'm not on RealPage's side. I'm just against somebody dictating to a business what they can or can't do. That's within their ability to be able to do. So this antitrust lawsuit was consolidated from 30 others. It claims the software facilitates price fixing, inflating rents nationwide. Maybe it does. But are they doing anything illegal? If they're not doing anything illegal, what's the problem? This is where the libertarian in me comes out. I want rents to be as low as possible, but I do understand they need to make a profit. That's what they're there for. And they also need to generate revenue so they can maintain the upkeep of the building. And it's okay if they make a profit. That's fine. It's the American way. The real problem is not the landlords here in San Diego, California. The real problem is we don't have enough building because these same politicians who say they want to protect you make it next to impossible to build at an affordable cost. That's the real problem they don't want to tell you about. So before you want to blame somebody else, look in the damn mirror and know Betty Lou, Pablo Lou, Lee Lou, any of these fools, are they truly representing you? Check out how they voted when it comes to CEQA or housing or unions. And they're voting pro any of that. They're not there to help you. They're helping their special interests. And I guarantee you this is coming from some special interest. So, San Diego's ordinance faces a pending lawsuit that was filed. Courts are split. 2023 D.C. case upheld algorithm price fixing as an antitrust violation, while 2024 California case dismissed similar claims for lack of evidence. This one is probably going to wind up in the Supreme Court. Some legal scholars at the woke UC Berkeley argue the ban is lawful under antitrust laws. Where's the antitrust? Antitrust refers to laws that prevent companies from unfairly controlling markets, fixing prices, or reducing competition, ensuring businesses play fair and consumers have choices. If this is using market data, how is that unfairly, or how is that fixing prices? If this is what the market says it bears, that's what they're going to go with. It's supply and demand. But my key here is reducing competition. What if a landlord's using software to help price his apartments, how is that price fixing and colluding with your competition? I mean, colluding with your fellow landlords. And maybe it is. I just don't see it. Obviously, one court ruled the same. The ordinance is seen by those who love it as a valid exercise of municipal authority to regulate housing markets, supported by California's rent control laws, which has failed utterly. There's a reason we don't have any housing. Real estate attorneys on the other side, they contend the ban oversteps local authority. I agree. They infringe our federal commerce clause protections. I agree. First Amendment concerns are arisen as the ban may restrict software companies' rights to provide data-driven recommendations. See, that's my key. If this is market-driven data, then it should be allowed. If it can be abused, okay. You got to make some laws, some regs around that. But here's the problem. It's always overreach. Politicians who wouldn't know their head from their tush all of a sudden are deemed experts in something they know nothing of. I guess my take with all this is when the government intercedes, it always screws everything up. So experts predict the issue will reach appellate courts, as I said, possibly the Ninth Circuit, given conflicting rulings and high stakes. I think eventually this could reach the Supreme Court. Courts may uphold narrow bans if evidence shows consumer harm, but broad bans risk being struck down as overreach. And I agree. I agree. And those narrow bans, they have to show that the reason they're banning them. If it's based off a broad stroke, no. So this was going to go up to the justices, I believe. Big cities are banning this, and that's where they're likely to be scaled back. But they're going to keep them in place until the higher courts rule otherwise. Look, we got a housing problem here, and that problem is not on these landlords. It's on the fact that the politicians make it next to impossible to build. And I'm sounding like a broken record. I think I've said that twice now, but it's the truth. San Diego's algorithm ban faces a contentious legal battle moving forward. With lawsuits, it's going to wind up at the Supreme Court, is my prediction. And this outcome will obviously shape housing policy nationwide. But more importantly, this is a tech battle as well. The use of tech being allowed in industries cannot be stopped. It's just part of what's happening. It's kind of like somebody trying to say, no, 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 we got to protect the radio, television's here. So that's another angle of this battle. San Diego congressional delegation seeks EPA meeting on the Tijuana bleep hole, a.k.a. the Tijuana River. Oh, man, times of San Diego again. San Diego Democrats congressional delegation, there are Democrats here, except for one, that's Daryl Issa, has requested a meeting with EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin to address the Tijuana River pollution crisis. They would just want to go to, Lee Zeldin, you are a racist if you don't give us money. That's just going to boil down to, and they've thrown money here afterwards. So it's the ongoing sewage and toxic waste. That's right. Your crack becomes toxic after a while. It's actually technically hazardous material. The ongoing sewage and toxic waste has prompted urgent calls for federal action. I'm going to grab my glasses. I don't have them on. Representative Juan Vargas, Scott Peters, Sarah Jacobs, and Mike Levin, three rich people, well, not Juan Vargas, but the other three richies who love taking our tax dollars and spending it on their pet projects and for their donors. They issued a joint statement April 16th seeking a meeting with EPA head Lee Zeldin. Lee Zeldin, you shall meet with us on here. And so those three, yes, I don't like it. The delegation aims to discuss cross-border sewage pollution affecting South Bay communities. You know, we've known about this problem for decades. And our state has done nothing. Well, this is a federal problem. No, the feds can work with you locally. But y'all don't want to solve the problem. And then if they're so corrupt on the other side of the river, this is never going to get resolved. Since 2018, over 200 billion gallons of toxic waste, a.k.a. crap, human fecal matter, including raw sewage, have flowed through the Tijuana River into the Pacific Ocean. Broken wastewater treatment plant in Baja California and an outdated U.S. facility are primary contributors. Residents report noxious odors. That's it. Come on, bro. Noxious odors. It's either that or it's a Democrat convention. I don't know. Contaminated beaches and health issues with 172 toxic chemicals detected. Ooh, I think the chicks from the original flight probably have more than that combined in just their makeup. Some carcinogenic. So I'm laughing at this, but I'm laughing at the fact that this has been happening for generations, and all of a sudden now it's a big issue that they got to go demand a meeting with Lee Zeldin. So in March of 2025, just last month, Imperial Beach Mayor Paloma Aguirre noted Zeldin's social media post acknowledging Mexico's sewage dumping, raising hopes for federal aid. How about you get together with the state here, lady? You know, look, we have a $50 million fund to sue Trump for farting. Really? He's producing methane. It breaks our regulation. Sue him. $50 million. To sue him on behalf of illegals. Paloma. Maybe go do your job and talk to Gruesome Newsome. But you won't, because you're part of the I'm not going to say the word. I've been told not to. But you're part of the Democrat crew that believes in lying to your constituents, that believes in telling them it's everybody else's fault, but your own party that's been in power for at least a generation now. Previous EPA visits under Biden contrast with the current EPA budget cuts and staff reductions. But it doesn't matter how much money they got. They never used it properly. The delegation secured $400 million in federal funding to expand the South Bay plant, but critics say more is needed. No, not more is needed. If you can't get that plant expanded with $400 million, there's corruption. There's corruption somewhere there. The EPA did reject San Diego County's request for a Superfund designation. Superfund meaning we need more than $400 million. We need feed us. They just want to. They want money to go down like a freaking ogre eating a human in Hellboy. Outdated data, and they refuse a site assessment. So the data they're using isn't even up to date. It's outdated, and they don't want a site assessment. But feed us money as we ask for it. You see the hypocrisy, my friends? This is typical Democrat crap. I mean, you go to a meeting with these people. Tara Lawson, Reamer, Levin, Jacobs, Vargas. I mean, the stench in that room alone is going to be 10 times worse than the Tijuana River. It's like the cherry on top of the crap, the outdated data. And say, no, senor, you're not allowed to come to my site and make an assessment. They don't want to work with the government. They just want the government's money. You know, I don't know exactly what the solution is because I'm not involved in that project, but I guarantee you if I was, I would. This solution is there. It's the will of to get it done. And maybe what they need to get out of Zelda, we need you to talk to the president. We need you to play hardball with these tariffs to get this Tijuana sewage crap taken care of. I guarantee you they do that, it'll happen. And they can make it happen. Tie NAFTA into it. Do something. And they can make a little pressure by shutting the valve off to some of the revenue that goes to Mexico's way, where they can, we'll get this solved. But they don't care about that. And they'll try to make it Zelda look bad. Ugh, it's because he's a Republican. No. It's because this is nothing but a grift. And the people that suffer are the people who live in that area. But the people who live in that area, stop voting in these Democrats. And I can't condemn the people in Tijuana. It's not their fault. Their government's corrupt as it is. So the federal government needs to put pressure on them. And it'll get done. $400 million. They need more money. Come on. Give me a damn break. Barbara Lee wins the Oakland mayoral race. Oakland is one of the most corrupt cities in this country. And it did itself no favors. Former U.S. Representative Barbara Lee has won the Oakland's mayoral election, beating City Councilman Lauren Taylor. That's a man, by the way. Lauren, I thought it was a woman. It's a man. It's ranked choice voting. That in and of itself is disgustingly bad, too. Disgraceful. I heard a speaker talk about it. It's corrupt. That's how Sarah Palin lost her race. She was winning it, but she lost it because of ranked choice voting. Lisa Murkowski, they're all corrupt. This is how the elites and the puppets stay in power. Y'all be thinking, hey, ranked choice voting, that looks good. You know, losers want ranked choice voting. I'm sorry. I love my libertarian friends, but they push ranked choice voting because they can't win a straight up election. That's why they want – they don't want ranked choice voting because they think it's the best. They want ranked choice voting because it's the only way they see in their minds they can win. What they don't get is it's just another way that the elites, the powers that be, will manipulate a race to get the result they want. And it won't even be cheating. It's just the way they are able to manipulate it. There's some rules, and there's no set ranked choice voting formula. There's various formulas. Some races, ranked choice voting has cost 6 months in. They still don't know who won. Because of ranked choice voting. IBSUNA. So the election reflects voter concerns over crime, homelessness, and economic challenges. No, it doesn't. It was who could be the victim the most and then sit there and say they can get the money the easiest. It has nothing to do with crime or fixing crime, homelessness, or economic challenges. It has everything to do with them telling you they will, but not actually doing it. Why? The candidates have established track records of not doing what they say they're going to do. Barbara Lee is an uber progressive Democrat, huge uber far left wing of the party. They say, no, William, she's bold. She wants systemic change. She was okay with Bin Laden killing us. She voted against authorization for use of military force in 2001 after 9/11. She believes in $50 an hour starting minimum wage proposal, national rent control. I mean, everything I've told you is socialist. She was part of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, the Congressional Racist Caucus. She's got the credentials. She's 78 years old, people. She just can't let go of power. She just left 2025. Congress. She's just a power-hungry fool who's owned by her donors. From 1998 to 2025, she served in Congress. She and others on both sides of the aisle are why we need term limits. How did this all happen? The recall of Mayor Shong Tao. She's corrupt. She's looking at 70 years. Lee was out of Congress for 3 months before she decided to go back to 78. 78 years old. Now she won because of name recognition. That's it. She has no executive experience. None. She's done as she's told by her donors. Y'all are screwed, Oakland. Y'all have been a bleep hole since the 60s. You're going to be a bleep hole going into the 2030s. Barbara Lee's progressive credentials and long-term in Congress shows she's bought and paid for by donor masters. She has no transformative plan for Oakland. Crime is going to be rampant. Theft is going to be rampant. Murder is going to be rampant. Drug use is going to remain rampant. Welcome in your new mayor, Oakland. Dear God. California's SB 399 faces legal challenges. SB 399. That's the Senate, not the Assembly. This comes from California Today. The last one came from KQED.org in terms of Oakland. They give credit due where it's credited. The Oakland Story, www.kqed.org. This was CaliforniaToday.com. California's SB 399 banning captive audience meetings. It faces federal lawsuits challenging its enforcement. You can't do that, bro. Yes, I can. No, you can't. We'll go to court. So this deals with workplace unionization. So what is a captive audience? So first of all, before I say that, the state wants to ban, say, make it illegal, captive audience. In simple terms, a captive audience meeting is when employers require workers to attend mandatory workplace meetings, often during work hours, where management discusses topics like unionization, typically to discourage it. I think that's fair to have captive audience. Hey, it's their dime. They're paying you to work. If it's during working hours, they're dime. Why? Because the unions have all kinds of legal permissions to go talk to you. So the employees can't leave. That's what makes it captive. So they want it to be illegal. But then they want unions to be able to come in freely whenever they want to talk to you about that. That's pretty much law, too. This law it prohibits employers from mandating meetings, attendance at meetings about unionization. Supposedly to protect workers' rights. No, it's to protect the unions. Chamber of Commerce filed a federal lawsuit. Good. It violates free speech in the National Labor Relations Act. Yes, it does. I agree. March 2025 federal injunction paused enforcement good, pending court review. This is going to go up higher. This may be seen by the courts. The NLRB itself may be overruled if this goes up higher in the courts. I think it has the jobs right, you know, to do that. If they're going to – it's – unions are not good for this country. We need unions, but unions have become abusive, coercive, behemoths. They don't protect the worker. They abuse, intimidate the worker so they can maintain their stranglehold. There's a reason – people are fleeing the state. There's a reason manufacturing has gone overseas. It's because of the greed of the unions. Have you seen some of these fat cats? And I'm not calling them fat cats metaphorically. There's this one guy, actor, I guess, I can't remember. He's so fat. I mean, the man has got to have a specially made toilet seat for him. And a bidet to boot. There ain't no reaching around with that guy. So the NLRB is reassessing the related policies, which adds uncertainty, which is good. This restricts their right to communicate workplace policies, and it does go against free speech. And I am for removing that. This next story comes from the California Globe. Californians oppose Newsom's presidential ambitions. Really? Who that thunk? So a recent poll shows nearly 60% of Californians oppose Governor Gavin Newsom pursuing a presidential candidacy, reflecting dissatisfaction with his leadership, you think, amid state challenges. So let's explore this national polling data. So it was a Public Policy Institute of California poll found 58% of Californians opposed Newsom running for president in 2028, and only 39% support. It's because we know who and what he really is. Ron DeSantis destroyed him. Very charismatic, but because he's a protected entity, meaning nobody could really challenge him, he does not have the scars of war, meaning he's gone into the trenches, fought fire with fire. Instead, he's been protected. So when he's challenged, he's that. He doesn't know what to say, how to react. He's a terrible candidate. He's been protected. He's good-looking, charismatic. But the point is, in a debate where he doesn't have the protections he's been given here. I mean, just to give you an example, he debated John Cox one time on the radio, and they protected him. And John Cox wasn't the greatest debater. I remember I would have gone off on Newsom with the facts when Newsom said, you're murdering people because of these gun laws. I would have gone all off on him. What did Cox say? I didn't come here to debate that. I'm like, what the hell? He just called you out, bro. And you're not going to fight him? Come on. Luckily, we're in a new era. Ron DeSantis, you know, that was the greatest thing ever. You see that? This is a map of San Francisco. Greatest. He got beat down so badly. I don't know, his wife or maybe one of his mistresses, I can't remember, came up on stage and said, no mas, no mas. No mas, come on, Gavin, let's go home. I can't go home with you. I got a date with my mistress. That's Gavin Newsom. So, Gavin Newsom's state approval is 44%. It's down 50% from 2022. Look, at the end of the day, he's a bad candidate. Everybody's propping him up. Him, Bernie, AOC, they're all bad candidates because the media pumps them up, plays them up. It's a faux support system they put in place. But the people, once they get to know what he's done, who he is, they're not going to like him. It's like Kamala. Everybody's like, man, did you see what Trump did? Yeah, we knew he was going to do that. The only way it was not going to happen was if voter fraud was too big to steal. There's not a lot of polling for him as a presidential candidate, but Sports Betting Dime, their analysis of the odds, give him 550 odds plus 550 odds, which is about a 15% chance of winning. That's behind Kamala Harris. I'm sorry, that's ahead of Kamala Harris, who has a 4% chance. Newsom has 10% support among Democrat primary voters nationally. Some of this is old data from the previous election, so it's probably moved up a few points. But his high national visibility stems from high-profile actions like debating Ron DeSantis, which he lost, so kind of hurt him. advocating progressive policies, which he no longer does. Now he's trying to be seen as a moderate, so he's damning these issues that he once supported. And that's a problem. He can sit there and say whatever he wants. At the end of the day, he didn't support these policies. And the proof is in the pudding with the video, the content, the press releases, everything. He's done. He's only 57, media savvy, but he lacks not only the national name recognition, he lacks the gravitas to be able to pull it off. Bill Clinton and others were able to pull it off in different eras. He can't in this social media era where it's the emperor has no clothes. We know every decision and we can get it out there. That's why this MS-13 Abrego Garcia lie that mainstream media is pushing has faced strong pushback. I think Newsom's man with no clothes. He's easily beatable. Who he really is easily exposed. But most California candidates are considered because 53 delegates out of the state. Yeah. We'll see what happens. California sues Trump over tariff abuse power. This story comes from the Times of San Diego again. So California has filed a lawsuit to block President Trump's sweeping tariffs, accusing him of abusing emergency powers and causing economic harm. I don't see this lawsuit going anywhere, to be honest. San Francisco federal court, Rob Bonta, he who can't make a meeting to save his life, missed over 50% of meetings that were deemed as mandatory or important from the 10. He didn't attend. The lawsuit challenges Trump's use to the 1977 International Emergency Economic Powers Act. The problem is other presidents have done this. It's saying Trump lacks authority. They didn't have this problem when Biden did it. He kept Trump's tariffs. Trump, not the state, is in charge of federal policy. So this was a non-starter in my book. Newsom citing higher costs for construction materials. Yeah, maybe you reduce regulations, those costs will come down. Maybe you reduce the EPA crap you have. Maybe you reduce CEQA, all that stuff. This one's probably going to go down in flames. There's two other lawsuits, one by the Liberty Justice Center of New York's Court of International Trade and another by a Florida business owner. Some people say, no, William. This case has merit. No. There's merit because we're good people. We're good. Who cares if the house is going to cost $500,000 that you can get for $175,000 in Tennessee or Florida or elsewhere? Who cares? We're doing the right thing. The working class appreciate us. So even the supporters say, hey, it has merit, but it's chock full of challenges. Because this falls under the executive side of the law or of the three branches. Tariff cases belong in the Court of International Trade, so this will move anyway. This is what you call showmanship by Newsom. He's just doing this. Newsom called the tariffs crony capitalism. No, crony capitalism is how he pays off his Getty donors. It's funny. Newsom's always talking about being green, being climate conscious, but yeah, all his money comes from black oil, black gold rather, which is oil. This is just Newsom looking for some headlines. You may see a lower court rule on his side because they're activists. See, they cherry pick this judge too. We'll see how it turns out. Congress urged to preserve public media funding. Woohoo! NPR and PBS. An opinion piece urges. This is from Times of San Diego, and then it's an opinion piece, and I just had to put my two cents in. An opinion piece on Times of San Diego urges Congress to maintain funding for public media like NPR, PBS. They emphasize their role in community support, including during emergencies. So the author cites public media's role in delivering emergency alerts. Oh, yeah. Ooh, only NPR, PBS. You know, your neighbor down the road. Hey, Joe, it's flooding over here. I don't believe you, Bob. It hasn't set foot on my NPR emergency alert yet. As Bob is up here in water. Beep, beep. Oh, there he goes. The author cites public media's role in delivering emergency alerts. Ooh, alert, alert. Danger, Will Robinson. Look, there's all kinds of alert systems out there that work. She's trying to tell us that's why we need NPR. That's what she said in the article. She tried to put the whole basis of why we need NPR on that one example. Then she talks about San Diego's KPBS alerts reaching 1 million weekly listeners, viewers. That's speculation. There's no fact in that. Her name is Patricia Harrison, president and CEO of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. You think there's a conflict of interest in there? I think so. It oversees federal funding for public media stations like PBS and NPR. Oh, my God. Public media receives $535 million annually, I guess locally here, from CPB, 15 to 20% of the station's budgets. Trump has requested $1 billion to be defunded, and I agree. Look, here's the problem with PBS. There was a time I discovered Doctor Who, a popular sci-fi show. I discovered that on PBS. Loved it. Every day at 6 o'clock or 6:30 or every other day. And Masterpiece Theater, as recently as, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago, they aired Benedict Cumberbatch or Cumberland, whatever his name is, great English actor, his Sherlock Holmes with the guy who played the Hobbit in the Hobbit movie. Great show. Hard to follow. Erratic scheduling. But we've got streaming, we've got cable, we've got network, we've got satellite, we got the movies themselves. We don't need NPR. It was there to give us more and different options. There are other emergency resources we can use that actually work consistently. There are 86 of their people out of their newsroom, 86 out of 86 or 87 out of 87, they're all leftists. They continually, this is documented fact, undercut, demonize Republicans. So, yes, this woman has a conflict of interest, and she's on her knees for her donors to get this money to them. It's as simple as that. Patricia Harrison, president and CEO of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, oversees federal funding for public media stations like NPR and PBS. So she's not being honest in doing this opinion piece, and I just wanted to bring that to your attention. You have opinion pieces with people who are conflicted, conflicts of interest, who shouldn't be giving an opinion piece. They didn't say that. I had to look it up. They just said she was president and CEO of the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, or CPB is what they said. The House passes ISA back bill on federal judge orders. This is a federal ISA bill. That's why I included it. The U.S. House passed H.R. 7023, co-sponsored by Representative Daryl Issa, to limit federal district judges from issuing nationwide injunctions. So what happens is you get the president, and at times Congress, they'll pass something, and a freaking little regional federal low-end judge says, nope, can't do that, and boom, it's all over the nation. Who gave him the right to have that power? It's an abuse. It's what you call an activist judge. So this is saying, yeah, they can do that for their region, their district that they're in, and I agree with that. I agree with that. It targets controversial nationwide orders like those on immigration or environmental policies. You see, here's what the left and Democrats are so good at. They know they can lose with the presidency. They know they can lose in Congress, but they can win with activist judges in the courts. And I blame this on the Republicans for not having the cojones or the backbone to not let these judges through. There's plenty of judges. They just flat out say pretty much, yeah, I can't define a woman. And if a man says she's a woman, she's a woman. It's an example. And then they get through Congress and become judges. We have a Supreme Court justice, a moron, a DEI selection. She had to be a woman. She had to be black. Those were the top two considerations. Everybody else was excluded, whether you're Native American, Asian, Latino, and yes, Anglo. You were not allowed to be. You were not considered. That's racism, bigotry, discrimination, whatever you want to call it. We have those as judges. So we need something to stop the judge shop, because that's what it is. 70% of the judges hearing Trump's case are judge shop. They're Biden or Obama appointees. It's probably not going to pass the Senate. Republicans hold a slim majority, 53-47. What they've got to do is they've got to use these activist judges, these cases. They got to highlight the murders of these illegals. I look for it. I just did a Fired Up podcast where I talk about the Garcia scenario. And we need to use these women that have been brutally raped and murdered, including an 11-year-old, a 35-year-old mother of five, 11-year-old girl, 16-year-old girl lured under a river. And they're brutally murdered. They're raped and brutally murdered. we need to use this against, then we need to take control of the courts. I'm sorry, take control of the Congress by a wide enough margin, and you impeach some of these judges. I guarantee you the other judges will fall in line. By what do I mean by falling in line? No, not doing what conservatives want, but following the Constitution. I can take a judge when he says no or rules against me if he's followed the Constitution. Judge Mercantile, Judge Roberts, they have changed the laws to suit their needs. Judge Boudreaux, whatever his name is, the latest of a long line. They need to be impeached. We'll never see Justice Roberts impeached, but he needs to be impeached. He's compromised in some way. How, I don't know. But the Senate requires 60 votes to overcome a filibuster. With the 53-47 lead in squishes like Murkowski and the one from New Hampshire, I can't remember her name. Oh, and they are the epitome of everything that is not a strong woman. Murkowski comes from a family of politicians. She's as terrible as the McCains are. I got to be honest. I need this one to pass, but it's not going to pass. We need this one to pass, but it won't pass. So, we'll see how the 2026 election goes. Don't kill it. Bring it back. Because I think if the status quo remains in terms of the judges' activism, what we're seeing with the courts, we have a good shot in 2026 if the economy is not hurting us. So, all these deals, these tariff deals, look for Trump to get most of these done within 90 days. To turn the economy, not even turn it around, but get it improved more. Then he can run on not only that, then he can counter with, look at these activist judges. Look at the murders, rapists they let off. These are who your Democrats vote for, who they support. Pictures of Chris Van Hollen, AOC. It'd be overwhelming. They got to get their messaging straight. So, H.R. 7023 faces steep odds in the Senate because of partisan divides. And what I consider voter fraud in this past election, which keeps most of these places close, races close. And then, lo and behold, in California, at least literally every single race that a Republican has led come election night wind up going Democrat. It's disgusting. There is voter fraud. How much we don't know, and that's the problem. All right, my friends, that is today's show. Kind of mellow, I get. Not a lot of heavy-duty topics or exciting topics, but topics you need to be aware of, topics you need to know about, topics you can sit there and contact your local congressman, state legislature, senator, state senator, etc., and tell them what you think. I hope I've been able to provide some of that information for you. Do not forget to bookmark grumbliesmedia.com. bookmarkgrumbliesmedia.com. You can also find us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, ePandora under the handle Grumblies Media. Do not forget to like and share this podcast. We will not grow without your help. It is imperative. Our numbers are off the charts in terms of where we are at as a company right now, and you're helping fuel the growth of Grumblies Media. I lost the battle. I caved in and said no Fired Up California early on when I wanted it. Something happened. I said, enough. We're going to do Fired Up California. And it's been a great decision. And I'm glad we are doing it. So, with that said, tune in next week for a surprise guest. Enjoy your Easter weekend. What's left of it. God bless. And I am William Del Pilar. This has been Fired Up California. And I wish you the best, and I bid you adieu.